What do you think of when you hear the name Michelangelo? I suspect many of you probably think of some of his great works of art, like the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican at Rome, or maybe the great statue of David. Some of you in your travels have probably seen those great works of art that Michelangelo accomplished in his life. He was one of the greatest artists, obviously, of all time. You might be surprised to know, however, at the time of his death, he actually left more works unfinished than finished. In a sacristy of a church in Florence, the unfinished masterpieces of Michelangelo were gathered together, and by count, he left more work unfinished than finished. On September 23rd, 1934, 30 minutes into a class on the Greek New Testament, Dr. A.T. Robertson, a famous and influential scholar in the Southern Baptist Church, was stricken ill, and 2 hours later, he died. Later, when his family went into his office to gather some of his personal belongings, they found on his desk there that he had recently begun his own personal translation of the New Testament. He'd only made it as far as the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew before he died, but he had begun the work, but obviously his death came before his work was completed or finished. Michelangelo, a great artist, and Dr. A.T. Robertson, a Greek scholar and professor, both died with projects and work unfinished. Perhaps when it comes our time to die, we too will leave this life with work unfinished. Maybe it'll be a project that we began in our home, maybe a room that we were remodeling, or a outdoor project around the backyard that we were working on when suddenly our life ended and we were not able to finish what we had begun. Maybe it'll be a business transaction that we're involved in. Maybe the purchase of some property or some land somewhere, or maybe something we'd been trying to sell that we just weren't able to get finished before our time came. Maybe it was a trip we had been looking forward to taking, and we were still working on the details that needed to be finished before we could actually take the trip when something happened and our life was taken. Chances are that all of us in here, whenever our time comes, it will come at a time when we had other things ongoing, other projects that we were wanting to finish, other actions that we were hoping to complete, and we will leave this life unable to finish, unable to complete those projects or those works that we had ongoing. There is, however, one person of whom it can be said that everything he came to do was finished. Nothing was left undone. Instead, everything he undertook to accomplish in his life was finished. I'm talking, of course, about Jesus. Of all the last words that have been spoken by people before they died, none are more significant or powerful than the last words Jesus spoke from the cross. There were a series of statements that Jesus made right before he died on the hours that he was on the cross. Among the very last words that he spoke nearly 2,000 years ago, when he was nailed to the cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem, according to the Gospel of John, found in John 19 and verse 30 were the words, "It is finished." Actually, that is all one Greek word, tetelestai, finished or completed. In the 19th century, a guy by the name of Adolf Deisman and others discovered in the sands of Egypt pieces of papyrus that dated back to the days and the times of Jesus in the New Testament. They unearthed a treasure trove of business papers, real estate papers, shopping lists, papers from the marketplace of life. It was a very surprising find, because they began to find words on these papyrus fragments that looked very much like the words found in the Greek New Testament. And the reason that was surprising was because up until that time, people thought the Greek New Testament had been written in a sacred, holy language, because it was unlike anything else known at the time. But what they discovered in that discovery of ancient papyri fragments was that the Greek New Testament wasn't written in some sacred language, but in the language of the common man. And among the many fragments of papyri they found, they kept encountering this word, tetelestai, tetelestai. And where they found this word was on receipts, where an item had been purchased, or where a deed had been signed. In the world of Jesus and his disciples, whenever a debt was paid in full, whenever a transaction was completed, the word tetelestai was written to signify that the deal was done, that the transaction was completed, the sale was over. So here's Jesus, nearly 2,000 years ago, on a cross outside of Jerusalem, and among the last spoken words that come out of his mouth as he's drawing his last breaths of life is the Greek word tetelestai. Finished. Finished. But now, of course, that begs the question, what was finished? It's interesting, if we had time, we could kind of flesh some of that out, so I'm going to have to go through it rather quickly. But four times, at least four times, in the Gospel of John, this word is used in reference to Jesus and what he was doing. Just real quickly, let me point this out to you. The first time is John chapter 4, very early in the ministry of Jesus, and verse 30. If you want to follow along with me, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to be moving through these pretty quickly. John 4 and verse 30, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." A little bit later in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus prays a prayer the night that he is betrayed. And in that prayer, he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." And in the passage that we started with, John chapter 19, and verse 30, if you back up just a couple of verses there, verse 28, John says later, talking about Jesus, "Knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" And then a few moments later, Jesus utters from the cross the word, tetelestai, finished. What, though, was finished? Well, there have been theological debates that have reigned for years about exactly what Jesus meant there, but here's my take on it. Everything that God sent Jesus to do on our behalf was done. God sent Jesus, gave him a mission to do. That mission began when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit came upon him, and he began to go out and preach the good news of the kingdom to the poor, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to help the lame walk, and to call people into a relationship with him. Knowing while he was doing that his work would not be finished until his body had been nailed to a cross outside the gates of Jerusalem. When that happened, when his bruised, bloody body was nailed to that cross, Jesus knew his work was done. You say, well, but kind of wait a minute. Was it really? I mean, he hadn't even died yet. And what about the resurrection? We can argue about all of that. But in my mind, it's just this simple. Jesus knew all of that was so certain that it was as if it had already happened. And all that was left to be said was, it's finished. Jesus came to offer his body as a ransom for our sins. It was finished. It was done. It was happening. Right after he uttered those words, the text says he gave up his life and died. Nobody took Jesus' life. He gave it freely as a ransom for all mankind. He paid the price that we could not pay. His transaction sealed the deal. Tetelestai, finished, completed. 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Tetelestai, it's finished. Why does that matter? You say, so what? Big deal. I've heard this story before. What's so important about that? It's important because Jesus finished everything that needed to be done to give us a seat at the banquet table in the new heavens and the new earth. He finished the work God gave him to do. And all that's left now is for us to accept that work. To accept the work that he finished on our behalf. I can't think of a better time for someone to give their life to Christ than on a day like this, in a gathering like this. If you are ready to follow Jesus, the one who paid it all that you might be saved, that you might be reconciled to your Creator, if you're ready to give your life to Him, what better time, what better group of people to make that good confession and to meet Jesus in the water of baptism than today? To begin a new journey with Him, to say to the world, I want to belong to the one who did it all for me, who died for me that I might live. Tetelestai, finished. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's sing.